We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Join us at Suffolk Downs the weekend of May 18th, June 8th, and June 29th as we host our last live thoroughbred races ever. See you there.
Time now for Dan Cilio on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Pasternak, down the ball, score! Bergeron, score! Tipped by Pasternak.
The Carolina Hurricanes are really, really good on home ice.
Believe me, there is going to be some sort of issue that comes up this Sunday during the Wiggy and Bradford one-on-one game where there's a blown call.
A hand pass.
San Jose has the world's biggest horseshoe jammed right up its butt.
Let the adults talk hockey, Wiggy. You sit over there.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Tuukka Rask has a shutout. 4-0 the score. 4-0 the sweep by his team.
You know, what was the problems that they gave in this series?
Not a whole lot.
Daddy Bear has got you in the corner.
Get out of my studio.
Hashtag, let's be fit.
I'm ready. Anyone ready to run it back?
I already said that's called a power pitcher, by the way.
Don't you like the way Bruce Cassidy handles that Bruins team? Your boy Cilio, final hour. Man, we've just been scooting along here this afternoon, getting you ready for Red Sox baseball at the backside of the show. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. You know why I like the way Bruce runs his Bruins team? You know, I could get a sense of what his locker room and his clubhouse is all about. Respect, love, understanding that there's accountability by
next
everyone.
Man up mentality.
Yeah. That's right. Why does it resemble the Patriots?
Because on his press conference last week, he said out of all the questions he dodged, he goes, there's still more time to work and there's still more things to get done. Four to go.
Huh, interesting. Is that Bruce Cassidy, Joe, or was that Bill Belichick talking? I didn't see the video clip. Was it? Because to me, it sounds like the same guy. I want to make sure we get it right.
Oh, I got you. Let me find you.
Oh, I love it, man. Because you know why? To me, it sounds like Belichick talking. Gee, different sport. Almost same result.
You know, there's some unfinished business, so that's part of the emotion that you want to keep in check. You want to enjoy it, but also understand that, and I think our guys understand that there's still four more steps to take.
Think of this for a second. How many times do you think the Patriots look at those AFC championship rings that they've won, or, you know, get to a conference title game? That's a step in where I want to go.
What do they call it? T-shirt and hat games?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. You know, when I was doing radio in Los Angeles, I said the same thing. Hey, it ain't about T-shirts and hats. It's about the parade on Figueroa. That's the road that goes down Los Angeles. If you ain't doing that, you ain't winning. And I don't care about hats and T-shirts. You know what you do with hats and T-shirts? You put them in a box later, and you forget about them. Nobody cares about division titles. I only care about winning championships because that's what we're gauged on, especially coaches. So when I see Bruce Cassidy, the way he handles it and the environment reminds me a lot of the Patriots. And by the way, there's no shame in saying that. I want to resemble what those people do. And I hear people say this. Well, it differs. Dude, I'm not talking about sports and hockey sticks and footballs. I'm talking about being able to motivate men and women to be able to win. It's not that easy. Funny, I played, and he'll always be my benchmark, Jimmy Johnson. I played for, in my opinion, one of the greatest coaches in the history of football. He didn't give these Newt Rockne speeches. We worked our asses off. Our asses off. We didn't malaise into things. We didn't meander into anything. We didn't take anything for granted. We knew every moment that we were on a field or in a practice facility or in a weight room or in a meeting. It mattered.
Get the duck boats ready.
See, most people out there think it's about kissing cheerleaders and cashing paychecks. It's not. Now, I won't tell you that that's not really cool. Okay, I mean, you know, getting the good-looking chick. Oh, by the way, Big Sills always marries the prom queen. Yeah, I married the prom queen, okay? So, yeah.
What's wrong with marrying the prom queen?
Nothing, man. I told you. I wasn't going to settle for anything less.
That's a good Absolutely. Mindset.
That's right, man. Want the best.
That's what winners do.
That's right, man. I want the best. I love that mentality with that Bruins team. Third finals now in 9 years. It's awesome. Hey, and if you would have said this to me at the beginning of the year, Celtics or Bruins playing for a championship, I don't believe anybody. I even threw that out on my Twitter page at Dan Cilio Show. Nobody thought the Bruins, when the playoffs started, were going to be in this position where they're now in their third finals in 9 years. Nobody. Cam, great job. All the guys in this organization. If you go to my Twitter page, too, of course, I'm dear friends with Bobby Orr. It's a great picture of me and Bobby. And I even sent him a message a couple days ago after they destroyed the Hurricanes. Destroyed them. Weren't even in the same room with them. You can see momentum. Isn't the NHL about momentum, too, man? You get great goaltending, man. Everybody plays great. 617-779-7937. We threw this topic question out at everyone to open a show, and it's really been pretty awesome. Got a line open for you. What makes the Boston Celtics better at the end of the summer when Ainge has got to make a decision on what direction? You think he's figured that direction out yet? Or do you think he's still going through the numbers, the intel? What makes the Celtics better? Does Brad Stevens? The guy called in earlier and said, Stevens can't attract free agents, can he? Well, I think the green and white, you know, I think that attracts people. Hey, and by the way, don't let the media tell you anything different. Are you freaking kidding me? If I was a professional basketball player and you're telling me that I could put the Celtic jersey on, don't tell me all the stupid media stuff about the city of Boston. You're telling me I could wear a Celtic uniform and put my name up next to John Havlicek and guys like that and Russell? I posted a picture that Russell signed for me. One of my most prized possessions is a picture to Dan from Bill Russell on my Twitter. You're telling me you don't want to be part of that history? Something wrong with you. Yeah, but it's Boston. What's that mean even? Oh, that's right. It's the fake-ass media people. It's the greatest thing about this city. You know what it is? You got Italians. You got the Irish. You got African-Americans. You get Jewish folks. We all live in it together. We all live in it together, and we stir the pot. And then we got our civic pride teams here that we take great pride in. That's why we demand why something when it doesn't work right. And that's the Celtics now. Funny. Celtics had a very successful team in some cities. How about this? The last 7 years, you think the New York Knicks wouldn't like to have what the Celtics have been through under Brad Stevens the last 7 years? They'd be doing cartwheels. The New York Knicks fans would be doing cartwheels if they had resembled But that's not the benchmark we have here. That team at Gillette set it in the early 2000s. What makes this Celtic team better? Keeping Kyrie? Dumping Brad? Also, before I get to the calls, had a guy call in earlier. May 18th, must win tonight. Well, Joe and I went. Okay, he just gave me agita. You know what agita is, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah.
You get the Priorski with the blue bottle, you know, it's always on the table, especially if the sauce is a little runny, you know? You got to have Priorski, man.
Well, I mean, it's like, I think Lou said it. Or somebody, yeah. Somebody ended up saying it, that you can't win a World Series in April or May, but you sure as hell can lose an opportunity to get there.
Oh, absolutely, man. Because you're trying to get momentum, and that's kind of, if we go over to the NBA, that's what the Bucks did all year. The Bucks were the most successful team in the Eastern Conference and throughout the NBA this year, because you know why? There was a sense of urgency in Milwaukee, and there was a sense of consistency in Milwaukee, because they've got a player that was consistent all year. In Boston, we didn't have that year because we didn't have that player, because that player's not a consistent human being. The team took on the personality instead of the coach. It took on the personality of the star player. Is that wrong? There's where your issue is. Most of the time, the team takes on the personality. The Patriots are the personality of Belichick. The Celtics are the personality of Kyrie Irving. Up and down. Don't know what you're going to get. Does he like Boston today? Yesterday I didn't like it. Tomorrow I may like it. Hey, New York, me and KD talking in the alleyway. That's why you had a consistent, inconsistent year this year. Because the wrong guy had the team in his pocket. And again, it resembled his personality. Kyrie Irving is not a leader because he can't lead himself. Watch this. Great player, top 10. Of course. But that doesn't mean you are a leader. You think Allen Iverson's a leader? Allen Iverson was a once-in-a-lifetime type talent. Man, that guy ain't no leader. 1 year he had it. 1 year. Jim, appreciate you coming aboard WEEI. Thank you, my friend.
Look, here's the thing about the Celtics team in general. Okay, they're in the greatest city on earth. All we do is win championships. And Kyrie Irving is just not that guy. He doesn't belong here. We got to get him out of here.
How about this, Jim? I said this earlier, and you he just never looked the part. Am I right when I say that? He just never looked the part.
Look, it was a team. It was impossible to love them. They consistently threw away like 20-point leads in the fourth quarter all year long. And then when we get to the playoffs, like our leader, the most talented guy on the team, just disappears. It was just horrible.
Jim, I appreciate the call. Thank you. You know what's funny when we say that, too? The Bruins are fun to watch, aren't they? Bruins are fun. It's a fun team to watch. It's just, I can't tell you. Throughout the week, I kept saying, look at them on the gas pedal. They are on the gas pedal every shift. Tukaras is playing better than Tim Thomas did, in my opinion.
That's now, the only reason you worry about it now, though. That minimum time off in between now and possibly if this other series goes 7 games, they could not play until Memorial Day.
Is that 11 days?
That's a long time. Yeah, believe it or not. Yeah, more than, because technically if they had 7 games, what would line up? They would start the series Sunday. But, of course, what's the NHL going to do? They're going to want to market it and put it into Memorial Day Monday.
Here's where I think in this sport here, though, Joe, that I like it is because, look, you're playing a lot of back-to-backs. You know, I mean, unlike a lot of playoff series, you're playing a lot of hockey. I mean,
oh yeah, more than you should, especially in the regular season. What, you play like 2 to 3 games a week?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I gotta think this has to. Now, look, I'm gonna say something here, and maybe everyone out there completely sees it completely different on Chara. I think he's looked old and injured and slow. I think he has. Maybe this little respite here helps him give us four or five or six great games here, because in my opinion, I think it's going to be the Sharks. And if that's the case with the Sharks go three deep in their lines. And they're very physical. And he's going to have all the health he can get if he's going to play against that team. And if it's the Blues, look, the Blues are big, physical. I don't like the sporadic goaltending that they're getting now, but they're pretty good in that blue line as well. They just don't have the offense that – and for them to be in this series has been shocking, but that's because they stayed on the metal last night and they got good goaltending last night in that 2-1 win. I don't know, Char just looks slow to me. Hey, he's 48 years old, he's 62 years old, whatever the hell he is. He's played a lot of hockey, man. Patrice Bergeron has been so great since the opening series. You know, we were talking about Chris Sale being Chris Sale when Chris Sale needed to be Chris Sale. Patrice Bergeron needing to be Patrice Bergeron. And there's Kyrie Irving not being Kyrie Irving. There's so much expectations on when you're a top-flight guy like that. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. We started our program out by saying, is it Brad or is it Kyrie that has to go this summer? You think Danny Ainge is trying to keep both? Do you think he's having conversations with both? Because there's been an issue here with this. Brad's inability to be able to... Okay, how about this too? If we bring another superstar into Boston, who's to say Brad Stevens can connect with him too? Oh, we'll bring in Anthony. It's not that easy to be that kind of coach that knows how to talk to players. That's why a lot of players today like ex-coaches or ex-managers that have been players. People give Alex Cora a lot of heat for last night by keeping Porcello in. Why do you think he kept Porcello in? Because he wanted him to work through it. Is it wrong? It turned out to be wrong. But that's the inner belief in a player that he has in his teammate. And some would say this with Alex Cora. This is maybe one of the issues that Cora has. He kind of manages like he's still a player. Because, you know, you're not going to... I want Rick to work his way out of it. How many times do you see coaches, when a team's getting pounded on the floor, they want them to play themselves into the game? Steve Kerr does that. They play themselves into the game. They want them to get out of the hole, figure it out. Those, to me, are great managers and coaches. Let the players figure it out. But what's to say Brad Stevens is going to be able to connect with Anthony Davis? Look, Kawhi, I know Kawhi Leonard, okay? Played for Steve Fisher at San Diego State. Kawhi's a different bird, dude. He ain't playing nowhere on the East Coast. That ain't happening. He's going to Los Angeles. He's going back where he's from. And it ain't the Lakers, okay? It ain't the Lakers. Clippers fit his mentality a little bit more anyway. By the way, he's been Casper the Ghost so far in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, and I do want to throw this out at you. You don't believe the Celtics are better than the Milwaukee Bucks, do you? You know, I said this last week. You guys are telling me all about these preseason polls. It's like watching college football in preseason polls. Oh, this team's supposed to do this and that. The Celtics are supposed to do this and that. Hey, man, just because you draw it up on a chalkboard doesn't mean that's actualities. You got to go out and do it. You got to go out and play. You got to go out and be consistent. You got to go out and show when you're down. You got to be able to rally back. The same way we watch the Golden State Warriors, or as I like to call them, the Golden State Globetrotters, against the Rockets. Rockets had that last game that they were in, but guess what? They weren't going to allow that to not come back and lose the Warriors. They were not going to allow that. They were not going to allow a loss. They were going to go finish that team. They finished them off with a hurt KD who wasn't on the floor with them. What do you do? And the Celtics, it's right that they're in the conversation right now. Everyone else is doing great in our city. Anthony, thanks for coming aboard EEI.
Hey, how we doing today?
All good,
beautiful
man.
Day out.
You bet. Appreciate you coming aboard this afternoon.
Yeah, you know what? I hope you agree with me right now. Kyrie Irving, you know, he's been in some trouble, but I think that, you know, 95% of the blame is Brad Stevens. You know, I just think that he hasn't been able to control this team, and you know, he's like on the same level as one of the players. That's the way I feel. I'd like to
all right,
all
right, Anthony. Well, let me ask you, what's the type of coach then? How about this? Don't give me a name. Give me the type of coach and the personality that if the Boston Celtics are going to move away from Brad Stevens, what's the type of personality you would want to see? And let's see if a name figures out through the meat grinder here on what this team needs and what kind of personality. Let me hear a couple things.
You know, I think we need someone that is more experienced, that has years in the game, that can tell their players off, that has the guts to tell their players like what to do. I don't think Brad Stevens has that, and I wish I could put out a name, but I won't put out a name.
Can.
I'll just say the coaches. San Antonio Spurs is the best coach hands down in the NBA, and I think we should have him in Boston.
I appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. Gee, sounds like Doc Rivers to me. I don't know if that's taboo or anything, but doesn't that sound like Doc Rivers?
Just a little bit.
I mean, right? I mean, why did that guy just, I don't know, first name that came to mind was my boy Doc. So Belichick's going to call plays in 2019 on the defensive side. I want to hit on that as well. OTAs and stuff with the Pats. We'll continue your conversation as well. Getting you ready for Red Sox baseball top of the hour. You keep it right here on the home of the Red Sox, the world champion Red Sox, WEEI. Boy Cilio here. We got a line open for you. 617-779-7937. Top of the hour. Get you ready for Red Sox and Stros. Game two of that three-game set. I said it last week. We're going to find out a lot about this Boston team when you got to play somebody that's in your room and in your conversation as potential team that could go on and win a World Series. That Astros team. And by the way, I'm still shocked that Dallas Keuchel hasn't re-signed there. What's he waiting for? This guy thinks he's going to get a three-year deal at 31. Not happening. That's not happening, man. So, again, I mean, he's sitting around, no job. Dude, go back home, get yourself an opportunity to go out there and maybe get yourself a free agent contract, a two-year contract next year. Because nobody's going to give you a three-year contract. 617-779-7937. I'll get to the calls here in a second. I saw something on WEI.com. Guess Coach Belichick's going to start calling plays for defenses. Thank you very much. You got it, man. Imagine if you're a player on that defense. You're getting coached by, like, the guru.
Imagine what Jamie Collins is thinking.
Dude, I get a chance to be coached by that guy. The greatest defensive coordinator in history of the National Football League. The greatest in-game adjuster that's ever lived. I would, what an education. What a classroom on how to get better, how to be a good player. How to win, how to put myself in position, most importantly, how to prepare. Has there ever been a coordinator in pro football history in Belichick's league?
I could name one.
Give me one.
Close to it. Spags, Steve Spagnuolo. That man figured out the Patriots offense twice in the Super Bowl with the New York Giants, and I thought he was pretty good with the Rams as the head coach, but they didn't give him enough time. He only got 2 years.
Well, you know, there's different conversations when you're talking those different headsets too, Joe. I mean, the main headset being you have to be kind of an administrator, and sometimes coaches are coaches, and most of the guys that fail, like Romeo Crennel or like a Charlie Weiss or any of these guys that go on to try to put the big headset on, there's more to being a head coach. That's why Bill stays on one side of the football, and he puts like either Bill O'Brien, head coach, or he puts someone in that position like a Josh McDaniel that has a relationship with Brady. It's more important, get this, in my opinion, for Belichick, it's more important for Belichick to see that relationship between McDaniel and Brady than Brady and Belichick. Because those two guys have to go out there and take care of that side of the ball, and Bill's got that other side of the ball, and then he takes care of the personnel that's on the team. That's the dynamic that's in that locker room right now.
It's the perfect formula to win.
That's right. Bill trusts the guys that are on that side of the football because he knows, and by the way, a coach that knows his weakness as much as he knows his strength is a great coach. The coaches and managers today that think they have to know it all, those are the guys that failed miserably, Bobby Valentine. I know this. I know that. When you do that, you put yourself in a bad position. My coach, again, I know, please don't throw up when I keep doing it, but Jimmy Johnson never called a play in his life when he was the head coach of the Hurricanes or the Dallas. Do you know that? Jimmy never called one play. I used to think he was listening to country music on those headsets. What was he doing? You know, again, here, one time we're in a football game when I was in college. We had to run the clock out. Jimmy goes, run a halfback option or something. We go, coach, we don't have that play. Oh, okay. He didn't know because he doesn't care. He lets coaches coach and the players play. I know it sounds It sounds very like sports talk radio-ish, but it's true. He does. He doesn't get in the way. Bill doesn't get in the way of the offense. You ever see Bill and Brady in an argument on the sidelines? But you see Brady and O'Brien or McDaniel or Wes Welker or Edelman. Oh, those guys are bitching at one another. You ever see Brady and him ever have conversation unless it's a hug over another championship? Never. They never have, like it used to be with Sims and Parcells. There's never that dynamic between the head coach and the player. 617-779-7937. Mike, appreciate you coming aboard WEEI. Thank you, my friend.
Hello?
Yeah, Mike, good morning. Good afternoon to you. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry about that, Dan. How you doing, buddy?
All good, friend.
I'll tell you one thing before I talk about the Red Sox. There's a couple horses I love today in the Preakness. I love Owendale, and I like the 12 horse, a Twist of Fate. I don't know if you if you're going to be betting the race.
No, the only thing I do, I look at the chicks and what kind of drinks they have. And my friend who runs the Kentucky Derby, yeah, he says this. He goes like, anything. Here's my problem when we're talking about tulips. Okay, yep. I'm hoping it's a drink.
Well, let me want to ask you something, though, Dan.
All right.
They had a great year last year, the Red Sox. There's no doubt about it. Stark and everything. But let's face it, they didn't do anything to make the team better. They didn't do anything to dress the bullpen. I will admit Matt Barnes has good stuff. The other guys have average stuff at best. Frazier, this and that.
Are you really going to play the closer the money he wanted, though?
No, but here's what I think they should do, because I think a lot of things are going to open up after June 1st, and you don't have to give a pick. I would either try to get Kimbrel to come back or get Keuchel, and if you can get Keuchel, I think Eovaldi would be dominating the bullpen instead of pitching every fourth of a day. He's got great bullpen stuff because they're not going anywhere with this bullpen, Dan. Not the way it is now.
Agreed. I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you, my friend. Agreed.
I've been saying that for months.
Agreed.
If you're going to pay Eovaldi that much money and he's going to be on the IL, you should put him in the bullpen.
Here's where most of the money now is going in baseball today. It's going into developing of a bullpen. And you're right, Joe. They didn't do enough in tooling up and strengthening the bullpen this past offseason. And I'm not even talking about the back end with the closer here. Why do you think you're not seeing managers any longer making $6, $7 million? Like, look at Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy makes $5 million a year.
He's the last of their kind.
That's right. For what? 60 games? To win 60 ball games for me? That money now goes into player development, into your bullpen. Look at what the Rays are doing now. This opener thing is working. Here's a team that's got a less than $60 million payroll, and that team a year ago won 90 ball games, and they're not going anywhere because of their farm system that they have in Durham. They do a great job at player development, and they know now the trend. Same thing in Cleveland. Tito's figured it out. Look, I'm not going to go out there and do what the Dodgers did and give Clayton Kershaw $32 million, eat up half of my salary, and sit there and see that guy every six games. I'm going to win ball games because my bullpen is strong. Why do you think the Dodgers haven't had that parade yet and are only winning T-shirts and hats? Because they don't have a strength and strong enough bullpen.
And they like trading for the one-year wonders.
That's right. And right now the team – look at Kansas City a couple of years ago. How'd they win? They really didn't win with starters. They won with great defense, and they run with a bullpen. That's the trend today, is winning with bullpen and winning with great defense and timely hitting. The years that the Braves won all those flags in Atlanta, dude, they had Chipper at third. They had great starting pitching, and that's how they had great defense. The rest of the guys were all interchangeable, whether it be Pendleton or whether it be McGriff, or go down the list, the justices of the world. They got rid of those guys.
Yeah, and the problem is nobody realizes that that starting pitcher going nine innings four or five times you for a year, that's over. That time is gone.
5 2/3, dude. That's
all
where
they need.
We are today. That's right. If you take a – I want you to do me a favor, Joe. Look up – right now, look up Matt Scherzer's complete game number in his career. I don't even know how many years. I think it's 9 years. I guarantee you that Matt Scherzer, who's won a bunch of Cy Young Awards, if that guy has five complete games in his on his way to being a Hall of Fame career, I will be stunned if that guy's got more than five complete games.
He actually has nine.
Nine. How many years has he been in the league?
Since 2008.
Okay.
So he led the league in 2015 with four, and he led the league in 2017 and 18 with two.
How many starts?
2018, 18 starts. He's averaging around 18 and 20 for those years.
The point is that if you think these guys today are being developed into going 7 1/3, that ain't happening like Joe just said. You're going 5 2/3, bullpens take over, and you got a guy that slams the door behind you. Okay? Doug, appreciate you coming aboard WEI. Thank you, my friend. All right. You're not going to do that. It's not going to happen. That Rays team, by the way, too, ain't going away.
You can't sleep on them. Like you said before, 90 games in the AL East last year. That
less
wasn't
than 60
easy
million.
Division.
Hey, get this, Joe. Less than $60 million on a payroll, too. And you got teams like
Billy
the Dodgers
style.
And Reds. Yeah, you get teams like the Dodgers and Red Sox that are spending almost $250 million on payroll. Okay? And they got six. Get this. You got guys out there right now. If you take a look at, say, the Red Sox, the left side of the Red Sox infield, basically, or the right side of the infield, is almost the payroll of the Rays. It's crazy. But they know how to develop. That leads me to this question, too. Mookie Betts, you think the Red Sox are going to give a Nolan Arenado deal or a Manny Machado deal or a Bryce Harper deal to Mookie Betts? You think you're going to see 8 years, $275 million, something like that, whatever the Arenado deal is. I think it's $33.5 million per for Mookie Betts. You think the Red Sox are going to do that? That's a pretty big commitment. That's a pretty big commitment especially on what we just got through talking about, Joe and I. Bullpen, defense, Royals. I'm not going to pay. By the way, I'm not paying the Clayton Kershaw money any longer to starters. No way. If you think the Red Sox had to take a contract back, you think they'd take that Chris Sale contract back? This is about bullpens today. Guys are not going to give you 28 starts, 35 starts back in the day and go 10 complete on you. They're not doing that. It's over with. And by the way, tell me what the best players in baseball have meant to their teams over the last 7 years. Mike Trout? I couldn't pick Mike Trout out in a mall. And his baseball team sucks. Mike Trout, I think Mike Trout's hitting like his body weight in the postseason. How about Bryce Harper? Could they ever get out of the first round of the playoffs with that guy in Washington?
Bryce Harper's like a Tim Tebow. He's a marketing madman.
He is, and I love the shoes, and I love the whole thing, but the point is, having the best player in that sport doesn't mean anything to you. You can have Mike Trout, or you can have Bryce Harper. End of the day, you ain't winning anything with those guys unless you have a bullpen. Me spending $35 million on one player is absurd. I wonder what the Red Sox are going to do on bets. Got the money for sure. I'm going to get you ready for Red Sox baseball. We had a caller earlier, Joe, and I say that tonight's a must win. Really? I want to hit on that. We'll do it next as we get ready for Red Sox baseball right here on the home of the world champions, WEI. Must win tonight. Yee! Final segment. I don't know why I did that. I apologize. Your boy Cilio here. Final block before we get you into Red Sox baseball. Game two of that three-game set against the Astros. Prelude to the ALCS? These two teams here? Maybe. By the way, I just learned that my boy Joe. So Joe went to a game last night. He had peppers. He drank. I mean, did you eat the peppers at Fenway last night?
No, it was like before.
Okay, so wait. So you ate so like most people when they go out drinking want to get like bread or like have a base so that if they do get hammered and they do end up face down ass up, they make sure that there's a base that they can handle themselves. So your base was peppers and then
eggs
you went drinking
and pulled pork. That was about it. I had to work an overnight the night before, so my eating schedule was all screwed up because it swaps. So I wake up at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So you're blaming your eating habits on Joe Z?
No. I'll eat any day, anywhere, anytime.
Oh man. So what's your favorite grub at the ballpark?
Oh, favorite thing at the ballpark, dude? It's gotta be does beer count as grub? Not really, no. I give it pretzels.
Pretzels
gotta go with.
Pretzels.
Nothing better than a pretzel and a beer.
You wanna hear the most obnoxious thing that West Coast idiots don't get. Now maybe I'm wrong here. But to me, I had a conversation, the dumbest conversation with a Dodger guy. He goes, yeah, I was at the ballpark the other day and I had ketchup on a hot dog. I'm like, bro, you don't eat ketchup on a hot dog at a ball game. You eat mustard. And the guy's like, no, you had ketchup. And I go, I'll give you both, but you have to have mustard on a hot dog at a ball game. West Coast people west of the Mississippi think ketchup is the fashionable thing at a ball game. I eat mustard because that's the right thing to do at a ball game. And when you have a pretzel, you put mustard on that bad puppy, and then you devour it, then you gun it with beer. How much beer did you drink last night?
Oh, man, am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
No, it wasn't too bad. I had
you're lying. I can tell around.
I'm already lying. No, I had
dude,
a couple shooters.
Italians
had a couple
can't
shooters.
Lie, dude. Italians
no, I know it's
lie.
Impossible. Tell my girlfriend about it.
I am the worst liar on the planet. I try so hard, and I can't because I just am not that guy. I can't lie.
Hey, it's better to be truthful, in my opinion. You can't get into any trouble that way.
Yeah, but in my business, you have to try to lie. And so I'm trying to lie, and I can't. And there's some people that are really good at it. Some people are really great at lying in my business. I just can't. Guy asks me a question, I have to answer him. And before you know it, I'm fired. What do you make of that guy? Well, he blows out loud, and I hate him. Oh, he's my cousin. Oh, great. Well, he sucks as a radio guy. Have you ever heard of him? I've never heard of him. Anyway, so they're getting on my boy Alex Cora. Can't get on Alex Cora, man. Well, okay, here, let's do this. You think he's John Farrell or do you think he's Tito? You think he's somewhere in the middle? He ain't Bobby V. Who is he? What guy? Where do you see him in 3 years from now? Is Alex Cora still the manager of the Boston Red Sox in 3 years?
With gray hair.
Yeah, I say yes. I love the fact, I love his background, I love where he's come from, I think he's perfect. I say this about Alex Cora all the time. Alex Cora is a fist. He's a fist with a mouth on it. Players respect him. By the way, I go back a week ago when I made the comment, and some people, they tweeted me at Dan Cilio Show, and he goes, you really think that that White House thing galvanized the Red Sox? Him not going, Betts not going, but Sale and JD giving the president a lot of good kudos. I was like, dude, I'm not talking about, like, that was motivation for them to go out and win against the Mariners. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about you get to know each other a lot better when everyone has a different like, a different personality. I actually like this Red Sox team. And what I mean by like the Red Sox team, I like the guys. Everyone's different. I talked about that. Brad Stevens would have a nightmare trying to manage the Red Sox. He would have a nightmare trying to do that. You know why? Because there's so many different personalities. The manager has a different personality. It takes a true talent to be able to manage so many different guys. You got 25 guys, 24 guys. You've got to sit there and every single. I love the line that Joe Maddon, I covered the Rays for like 10 years. Even when they were the Devil Rays and they blew. But when Joe got there, I'm like, Joe, how did you get these guys motivated? He's like, Dan, I had a personal relationship with each and every single one of these guys in the dugout so that when I went to those dudes and I told these guys that you had to be here A to B and you had to do this or that, those guys all understood that there was a role. And get this, they didn't look at me as being a guy that was just hollering. How many coaches and managers do you see that just holler to holler and no one hears it? That's the beauty of Alex Cora. But also, I said earlier in the show, his passion can also be a deficiency. Last night, he took the blame for the loss last night, leaving Porcello in. And some would say even the criticism on how he dealt with the pitching staff coming out of spring training. It's been an issue for him. But I think there's a whole different dynamic now with this team. Did the Red Sox and Dave Dombrowski go out in the offseason? Did they stand pat? And maybe that was a calculated error? See, just like the Yankees and the Dodgers, they have a checkbook that they can right or wrong. What will they do as we get closer to the July trading deadline? Starter? By the way, do you trust David Price? I've never. Just to be fair, I got to be consistent here. I didn't trust him in Tampa. And I don't trust him here. He had a nice moment a year ago. A stretch moment. Do you trust that guy? I don't know. He hasn't been consistent enough for me to sit there and go, yeah, I completely do. Feel me? So, this is not a must-win tonight. However, like Joe said earlier, You can take yourself out of position early on in the season, can't you? And floating around 500 in the AL East, I don't know. I would say this to you. Cleveland, right? This Astros team, right? I mean, I don't know if I buy the Twins, but I surely buy this Rays team. Said it earlier, you're sitting there at 27 and 16 or 15. They're a half game up on the Yankees, and I think we're 4.5 back. Yankees are going to get healthy. And the Yankees are now getting better and getting healthier. And when they get healthier, I thought New York did more in their starting rotation and what they did in the offseason by bringing guys in, and they got better. The Red Sox kind of let the back end go. They're 2 games over 500 now, and they're floating around the Mendoza line. You buying the Twins in the American League? I don't know. We'll see. They look awful good right now, don't they? They do. They look awful good. May have the best record in the American League, I think. No, Houston does, I believe.
It's going to be a tough stretch these last couple weeks in May.
I would say this, though, about the Sox. Not only this series here, but this next week of games is going to be telling here, not just this Astros series, like I said.
Well, they haven't played anyone, like, they play decent teams now, but you look at their last four series against Seattle, the Orioles, the White Sox, the Athletics, and then the Rays, like, you had a cakewalk for about a week and a half.
And you're only 2 games over 500.
So now you got to hit the Astros, you got to hit the Blue Jays, then you got to hit the Indians, then you got to hit the Yankees. Like, that is not easy to get through.
No, absolutely not. I mean, like you said, I mean, you're talking about, you know, and you got Cleveland. You know, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a really decent stretch run here coming up here. And as I said, you're going to find out more about this ball team here. Like you said, too, if you look at the numbers, I'm looking at it, Joe. I'm looking at it. I mean, like you said, Colorado's been up and down all year. They're not what I thought they were going to be. Same thing here with, I mean, look, Baltimore. Holy cow, Baltimore right now, man. I mean, seriously, Pawtucket could beat them.
And the big thing was everyone was up and gung-ho about 15-2 win against the White Sox, 9-2 win. It's like, yeah, but those runs, you need those runs in these games where it matters. In the end of the innings, you need to put, not that you're going to put 15 against Houston, but you need to put up a couple of those runs. Last night was a perfect example. They had an opportunity, and they couldn't come through.
Absolutely. And then you got Toronto in a 4-game set right after this thing here. So that's going to be a respite. But then check this out coming up. You got Houston, Cleveland, Yankees. Kansas City will be a cakewalk. But then on the flip side of Kansas City, you got a 4-game set with the Rays.
And then if I'm not mistaken, they go to London pretty soon after that, don't they?
I think they do. Yeah. I think they go to London. I don't know when they go to London. But they got the Yankees in June, too. Back into June. So you're, like you said, the games that they have had here, okay, to be 2 games over 500 right now, that's why I said last week, this Astros series was going to tell us a lot. And I think it's going to tell Dave Dombrowski a lot on what direction he has to go. All right. I do want to hit on this as well. Getting ready for Red Sox baseball, but man, I so love the fact on how I opened the show. We are so spoiled here. We're sitting here talking about the defending champion Red Sox. We're talking maybe another championship parade with the Bruins, the Patriots, OTAs, and we're getting ready for that thing. That thing, do you realize that we got like 2.5 months and we're going to be in training camp already with the Patriots? End of July. We're talking, you know, the Patriots already for the 100th year of the National Football League. We're going to be going into that. And we're right here for that as well. It's a great time to be a fan. It's awesome. So much to watch. Bruins winning a cup, watching leadership. Watching
tell that to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, or hey, tell that to a lot. Tell that to New York. Would you like to be in New York right now?
I would love to be in New York right now.
Why?
Why? Because Yankees, Bronx, Italian. Come on, you got to enjoy it a little bit.
Oh, if I told you the stories about me and my uncle and DiMaggio and those guys, you would probably die. Are you ready for this one? I'll give you a brief story.
I was about to say, yeah, brief and make it, air safe.
It is safe. So my uncle's Andy Robustelli, New York Giant legend, Hall of Famer, played at Yankee Stadium. I used to show up to old-timers games when I was a young kid. And Jerry Coleman would be in the room there, and DiMaggio and Mantle. This was back in the mid-70s. They sucked. Early 70s when I was a real young kid. I'd show up in there. There's DiMaggio, and there's Mantle at these old-timers games. My uncle was the general manager of the Giants at the time, too. So I got a chance of going to New York, and I got a chance to see all these guys. I got a chance to hang around that organization. I got a chance to know George Steinbrenner when I lived in when I lived in Tampa. Steinbrenner would come on my show all the time, Joe. Bought the team on my birthday. And so he loved the fact. And so, like, when he lived right around the station, he would come into my station when I was doing – I did radio in Tampa for, like, 14 and a half years. And he would come into the studio and just sit there and talk Red Sox and Yankee baseball. When I grew up, that was my favorite rivalry.
It's what the sport's missing nowadays.
What, Fisk and Munson?
The rivalry. We saw a glimpse of it last year.
We did.
And that was it. I thought it was going to take off from there with two young studded casts. When you look at the Yankees and Red Sox, both brought up in the farm, and I thought it was going to get heated, and it never turned out.
It never got like Pinella and Fisk and all them guys. It never didn't. It never got to that level. And I think it's because today's players are a tad bit different. You know, I mean,
the grandfather day has officially ended. That time is gone.
It's just it is. It's still, but you know what though? I think in those kind of series though, I do still think that the fan bases keep it kindled and they keep it alive a little bit because a lot of the fans that show up to these games are still with the historical part. Hey, Red Sox, Yankees, great rivalry. And no question, they understand the rivalry between the two cities. The fans really actually keep it alive more than what the players do nowadays, keeping it alive.
And it is way different around Fenway than it used to be.
How so?
Way different. Man, when I was a kid, I could walk down through there with a Yankees jersey and you won't believe the crap that I heard going on. Nowadays, everyone's too soft to say anything. They go on Twitter and they got to go put it out there.
And hide behind an egg.
Exactly. Yeah. Walking on eggshells, my friend.
Yeah. Hiding behind an egg. Yeah. Okay. Hey, that guy sucks. Silio, you blow out loud. How come you don't have your face on or your name is Papa Joe? I mean, there's no face and your name is Papa Joe. Okay. Great. So, no, I'm looking forward to this game tonight. I'm looking forward to the rest of this series. It's not must win, but again, it's time, just like Joe Castiglione said last week, it's time to kick it into a gear here. If you truly are going to be a team that's going to push the gamut at trying to repeat, and we said it earlier, repeating in baseball, this is not a common thing. That's not the easiest thing to do. National League hasn't had a repeat guy since 75 and 76. Baseball's a tough championship to win. One missing dynamic. One focus point where you're not as focused as you were before, let's say a year ago. Now, you know, I've always made the point, climbing the mountain to me is truly one of the tougher things to do when you're trying to become a champion. But staying up on top is even tougher. Because you got everything coming from all angles at you. You got interviews. You've got other opportunities for your stars. Your stars start looking at, and by the way, not every guy is Tom Brady, or not every guy is a guy that's going to look and be a 1-0 guy, and he's going to go forward going, I don't give a crap what I did in the past. I only care what I'm going to. Those guys are rare birds, dude. And today's guys, you have more so where you don't have that same mentality. So this series, again, with the Stros, it's time now. You're two games over 500. You're 4.5 back of the Rays. The Yankees are getting healthier. This is going to be a three-team race here between the Rays. Rays are not going anywhere, dude. They're not. Again, team won 90 ball games a year ago. They got better this year. So, no doubt, it's time now. Two games over 500. We got to start looking at this now where it's time as we get closer to July where we start doing this. Let's go here, guys. It's time to start stepping up. Last night was a tough loss. I like Alex Cora taking on, hey, this is on me here by keeping Porcello in there. But now this comes down to player accountability here, too, going out and getting these next two. You got to get these next two because you got a good stretch coming up of games here. You got a great stretch of games. Got the A-team coming up here, too. Sean McDonough, my boy. Holy cow. Sean and I go back a long way. Dave O'Brien and Joe Castiglione, man. It's going to be a great call tonight. Joe, I appreciate all the things you did here, brother.
Thank you, my man.
We had a fun time, huh? This baby just flew by, didn't it?
Living the dream, man.
Hey, try not to eat too many peppers and get hammered too much tonight, okay?
I'll make sure of it.
You got it. All right, guys, I appreciate the way everybody came aboard with us. Thank you so much. Stay tuned now for Red Sox baseball. Your boy, Cilio. Catch you on the flip side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.